Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and the CAM Podcast is brought to you by O'Neill's Classic Archery. And with us today, fresh off the win in the first ever senior known pro class at the ASA's, Randy Morocco. Randy, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on, PJ. I really appreciate it.
How has the reception been since you came home? You know, senior pro win, you've won other things, but of course, this is the first time we've had that division in ASA. What's the reception been like for you since?
Yeah, it was real positive. You know, my three boys were texting me and sharing the video that you guys made, and you know, the people at the local shop, you know, you walk in and, you know, everybody cheers and hey, how are you doing? And you know, even people that you know, didn't really realize what I did as far as shooting were like, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe I saw you on TV.
Nice.
So it was really cool to see, and it was exciting, and it was really exciting to share the quality of video that CAM Media put on. So I really appreciate
cool.
that.
Well, that's awesome. Well, and Randy, I have to, now that we're on here, I have to apologize on the broadcast. I was kind of acting like I know you from indoor. That's where I've seen your name before. And I was kind of talking like, oh, you know, he's a target shooter, but you're an accomplished ASA competitor as well. I looked up last year, you only entered four in senior known 50, and you won all four.
Yeah, it was a good year.
I'll say. But you missed the fifth one to get Shooter of the Year.
Yeah, it was just a lot of stuff going on last year.
Gotcha.
Some life stuff. And I think everybody knows how that goes, you know, with jobs, with life, and a lot of things kind of going on at the same time. There were just some things that I just couldn't make. So
gotcha.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed out, but it was a good year last year, especially that when I started in 2019 back at ASAs, and said, well, I'm here, it goes. Let's see how this happens. Let's see how this works. And, you know, to come away with, you know, those wins, I'm the most surprised person in the room. And, you know, just counting my blessings and just blessed to be able to do what I do. So,
yeah. Now, up where you are, you're from Pennsylvania. Now you live in Ohio. That's, you know, where I'm from. That's predominantly IBO country. Do you shoot IBO?
I used to a long time ago when it was the only game in town. But, you know, as I spoke to you, you know, I went to the ministry and I was shooting IBOs, but when I went into the ministry and then, you know, with kids and family, and there was just a lot of things pulling up my time. I just did not have the time to do a lot of archery.
Gotcha.
So when the ASA kind of rolled around and said, hey, we're going to do known classes. And in 2019, I turned 49, and they opened up the first senior known K50 class. And I thought, well, all my friends are shooting these ASAs, and I'd really like to dip my toes back into the pond of 3D because I loved it so much when I was in my 20s. Let's just take a stab at this and see how it goes.
Yeah. And that first one, so that you shot the classic that year and came in fourth. So that must have felt pretty good.
Yeah. My first one, I think it was Metropolis. I really believe it was Metropolis. And I went out and I shot, and I was 16 up the first day. And I was leading, which, wow, I can't believe I'm actually leading this class. And I don't own a 3D target at all. And then I went, you know, I made a rookie mistake. I went to the bags the next morning, and I was a little bit shooting, I think, a little bit right or left. And I adjusted my windage on the bags. And I went out on the course and I spent the first 10 targets getting my windage back because just made that rookie error. And I was like, I'm never moving that on the bags ever again. But it hooked me. I started meeting some really amazing people. And it was like, I really, really, really like this. I'm really enjoying this. And so I just kept on coming back and competing. So,
yeah. So I saw that you, 2020, you won NFA Indoor Nationals. Last year, you were second NFA Indoor Nationals.
Right.
So is that where you have done most of your shooting? I couldn't find any Vegas information.
Yeah. So indoors, when I started shooting again, competitively, my goodness, in 2000 and I started back when I was 37.
Okay.
And I started shooting local shoots and, doing ministry at the same time. So a lot of the bigger shoots were sort of out of the question for me. They're all on weekends and trying to, when you pastor a church, you kind of need it there on the weekends.
Absolutely.
And so I started doing pretty well at the local shoots, the indoor shoots. And then when summer would come around, I decided that when summer comes around, I wasn't good at judging yardage anymore. And I was just going to commit myself to indoor archery. And when I started going in my first professional shoot sort of was the Lancaster Classic in 2014. I remember it distinctly. It was at the shop.
Yep.
Walking in and the first person I saw was Dave Cousins and I was, oh my gosh, it's Dave Cousins. I felt like a little kid, standing by, Levi Morgan and seeing all these names that I've kept up with for a long, long time and to see them and, just be like, wow, this is really cool. And, so I shot there. I remember I shot a 653, I believe, with my Apex 8. And Rob Coffold walks up to me and goes, like, who are you? who the heck are you? And I remember laughing because I just told him, I said, I love shooting indoor archery. I said, that's what I have time for. And I pastor a church, this, that, and the other. And so when I started in my professional career, it was all indoor. Because that's what I committed myself to. That's what I told my church that I was going to do, and I was going to leave everything sort of else alone. And so Indoor Nationals in 2020, there was the quarantine Indoor Nationals. It was in Yankton.
Yep.
Won that, shot a 60X and a 325Xs. It was really my first professional win.
Okay.
Just so overwhelmed by, oh my goodness, I'm just kid from Farrell, PA, and who just loves shooting his bow, and I have a professional win. And then the Rushmore Rumble, won that, the in a deception Dakota Classic, won that, and a host of second places, third place here at Vegas this year, second place at the Indoor Nationals, third place at the Indoor Nationals. And it's just to a place where, really, like a friend told me yesterday, count my blessings that not, of just even being on the podium at these national events and seeing the success that the Lord really just blessed me with there's really no words for it, but just to be grateful for what I've seen and accomplished in archery so far. It's been a blessing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's what I wanted to find out about was your backstory, how you came into this. And that's interesting, because that's what, you're kind of a testimony to the fact that you can do all the other things in life, and be a top level elite archer, just you fit it in where you can.
Right. And I spent a lot of time in my basement. Yeah. I didn't have a 20 yard range, but what I had 15 yards and another house I had 10 yards.
How about that?
And I would just, you know, and I told George Riles, and I said, I would read his articles on how to perform back tension shot. Uh-huh. And I would listen to them and I would sit there 10 yards or 5 yards and just practice that shot over and over again. And it was kind of cool because I got a chance to, you know, finally meet George and, you know, come up to him and, you know, thank him. I said, George, you know, really, I said, I thank you for writing those articles because it's helped me become a better archer. And he looked at me, he goes, so I did this to myself, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
And we had a good laugh about that. But really, it was just that hunger of wanting to be better. And I wasn't going to allow my circumstances to stop that.
Yeah.
Or to hinder that. And I don't have an bigger indoor range, but I'm going to shoot anyway. I want to enjoy it. So
I wonder if, I'm not a coach or anything, but I wonder if that helped you having that short distance. Because I know when I'm trying to work on my form, if I'm at 20 yards, I'm aiming whether I want to or not. And then I end up focusing more on aiming versus shot execution.
Right. And what helped me was another online article that I read was sort of one arrow drill where it doesn't matter 10 yards, 12 yards, 15 yards that you shoot that one arrow and you go down and get it, pull it, and you shoot it again. Uh-huh. And you're trying to make like a bullet group, like a rifle group.
Yeah.
And I would just do that over and over again, just one arrow drills. And it helped me to focus, it helped me to make sure that every shot that I took counted.
Right.
And so, and it's crazy because I don't do it anymore. I should. I really should. Because that's where you cut your teeth. That's where, you know, you put the hard work and sweat. That's where you in your mind, you win Vegas. In your mind, you win the big ASA.
Yeah.
You win the big shoot that you're going to right there, 10 yards. Okay. This last shot, you know, this is the money shot. This is, you know,
yeah.
And you play that over and over in your head, you know, competing against imaginary people, but in reality, you know, it's training in what you're doing.
So how is that for you then? Okay. So you came in into ASA, you were shooting senior known 50. How is that for you to see that be now a pro class? Obviously, Tim Gillingham, you know, he's been shooting pro forever. Mm-hmm. But we saw lots of new faces out there for ASA on that pro line. You know, Paul Penrod, Jimmy Butts, all those guys. Mm-hmm. They've been around, but to see them now shooting pro in ASA, I thought that was cool. What's that like for you and the guys that you shoot with?
It's put a new sense of excitement in everybody. You know, Rob Morgan also was out there. Yeah. Rob is an amazing shooter. You know, and you know, Mike Hulbert Jr. And there's a whole bunch of other guys that I could list. It's really exciting because, you know, it really legitimizes that, you know, this known yardage with us guys really can work and it could be exciting. And that we can still shoot and we can still put on a show. And, you know, there's more, you know, to archery after 50 than just a few guys. And I think it's just a real blessing because now we can compete for, you know, a little bit more money. We can compete for national titles. It's exciting for us to go out there and, you know, senior K50 was fun. It was great and stuff like that. There was no shoot off.
Right.
At the end of the day, you whoever had the highest score, you walked away and you were like, hey, I won. I get a plaque.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is with the cameras and the national attention, it really is exciting. And it's exciting because there are guys, as you mentioned, like Paul Penrod and Jimmy Butts and Rob Morgan that deserve the camera. You know, Tim, they deserve the camera, deserve that people know who they are.
Right.
Because they're not only great shooters, but they're great people.
I did not know Stacy Yoke before last weekend. And then there he was. I saw this name. He's leading. I thought, oh, man, all right. You know, here's someone I never met before. Yeah. And now he's leading a pro class at the ASA. I just thought it was cool. And I don't have the numbers in front of me. I've seen the numbers. But it was, we added senior known pro and women's known pro without poaching from any classes. The numbers in senior pro and women's pro were the same or higher than last year. So the fear was that by adding the known pro that we were going to take from those other pro classes. That didn't happen. It was better numbers all across the board, which was also interesting to see.
Yes, absolutely. That is a good part about archery, that there's room for everybody.
Yeah.
There's room for everybody. And, you know, we're not stealing from anybody else. And it's just, and again, you know, known, or the unknown classes, you know, that's a, you know, as Tim Gillingham would argue, you know, that's a discipline in itself is judging yards. Heck, I don't even know how far it is across the hallway right now, but it still creates room, you know, for people that it will grow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think having the pro class, that gives you something. I mean, there you were in senior K50, not that that wasn't competitive or give you a drive or anything, but just then to add that pro level. And like you mentioned, the shoot down, you've been in, you know, the NFA shoot offs at the finals there at the end where you're out on the big stage. Mm-hmm. Did that help you in Foley? Was it a different experience? Was it all new? What was that like coming out on that stage with the cameras?
Oh, going on the stage at Lancaster, going on the stage at the NFAA in Vegas and the whole nine yards, it definitely helps. There's no doubt about it. A lot of people, you know, how do I get better? How do I handle the nerves? You just got to go to the big shoots. there's no other thing I can tell you. You might be the king of the hill in your backyard, but until you get out to a national ASA, until you get to Lancaster, until you get to Vegas or to indoor nationals, you're not going to be able to truly figure out how to handle your nerves until you're on that stage, until the cameras are in your face and there's a lot of people behind you watching you. Yes. And walking out onto the stage in Foley, a lot the same way, where I had a low grade, like, you know, nervousness in your arm and in your whole body. There's that low grade nervousness.
Yeah.
But I've been there before and I've, okay, this is good. This feels good. I'm glad to be here. Okay. Don't let that nervousness, you know, okay, make good shots, ignore the cameras, ignore the people behind you, worry about doing your job and making the best shots you can.
Yeah.
And so don't worry about what the guy's doing next to you. Don't worry about what they just did, or don't focus on that. Focus on doing your job and doing it right. And, you know, and like I said, I've shot nervous before, and so it's nothing new to me.
Right.
But the first time being on the stage at Lancaster, I swear that platform was gonna fall through it.
I can assure you, it's not wobbly on its own. That wasn't the platform.
Oh, it was wobbly. I think it was on rocky stilts.
Well, I should mention, Randy, that I am the undisputed international champion of my backyard, but it is well documented what happens to my shooting when the camera goes on. So yes, I can assure you. Yeah, you got to get out there and do that, or it's not the same thing. It is not. They always say, oh, you know, it's still 18 meters, 20 yards, whatever, same target. Nope,
not at all. You know, it's funny because, you know, watching the shoot offs at Lancaster, and you're watching people shoot on the stage and you're like, dog, man, that was a fat nine he just shot.
Yeah.
Man, I could do better than that until you're up there.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm out there emceeing. I'm not shooting or anything. I always feel nervous. I'm not even doing anything. That's it's just a different setting.
It is.
And I had mentioned, you know, you're talking about that you have shot with nerves before, and those other guys have too, who were shooting in the finals with you. Mm-hmm. But I had mentioned in our recap that my impression looking at it from the outside in was you did seem to be the only one who was comfortable all the way through. I would say some of the other guys, you know, made good shots at times and got a comfort level. But my impression was you seemed to be comfortable the whole time through the shots. Is that, did you feel good about what was happening out there, or did you have any, oh man, that didn't go right? Yeah.
So breaking into my weekend in Foley, it was chaotic to say the least. I got off of work on Thursday, and, you know, kudos to everybody who has to work.
Yes.
And, you know, their travel plans, and it's a 15-hour drive, but I flew into New Orleans figuring that I would get to New Orleans, get in the car that I rented, and get to Foley by about 3:00 in the morning, get about 5 hours of sleep, get up, go shoot under practice bags, and go out to shoot. That didn't work.
Oh no.
The plane was delayed. They needed to fix a part. It was an hour delayed by the time I got to New Orleans. The shuttle ride to the rental car place was 20 minutes. Get to the rental car place. There's a guy who said he rented a car. He didn't rent a car. They had to call security. Waiting for him. And they're talking about there's no cars. Finally, I get my car. It's 2:00 in the morning by the time I got my car and have a 3-hour drive.
Oh no.
So I pull into my hotel at about 5:10 a.m. On Friday morning. I got to shoot at 9:00. I go into the room. My buddy's like, "Oh my gosh." He's like, "Oh my gosh, what are you doing?" I sleep until about 7:10, just a little under 2 hours. Get up, get a shower, head over to the bags, and I'm on the stake at 9 a.m.
Wow.
After 10 targets, I was 14 up after 10 targets, I was kind of like, this is kind of crazy. This is really crazy.
For those who don't know, 20 up would be perfect. So, so there were only three that you didn't shoot 12s on.
Yeah. Jeez. And so, but by the 12th or 13th target, like all my energy just went, like somebody pulled the plug and it just all dumped. So by the time I was finished, I was 16 up. Gotcha. By the last four targets, my arm was shaking so bad because of just exhaustion.
Sure.
So I went back, got a nap, got a good night's sleep, got something to eat, went out the next morning at 7:30 and started slow. Felt good, just started slow. Then the last 10 targets, I just caught fire and ended up 20 up. And I hit like my last 6 or 7 targets for 12.
Nice.
So I started fast the first day and finished slow, but I started slow the second day and finished really strong. And that was the confidence I needed going into the shoot-offs, that I'm hitting what I'm aiming at. And I'm just going to take that into the shoot-offs, and I'm going to shoot good. So walking in, I had a 6-point lead.
Yeah.
All I needed to do was, you know, don't make mistakes. Make sure that you're not giving points back. And when I hit that the first 12 on the turkey, and then I kind of went down the line as people were, you know, start hearing eights come in. Okay, nobody's pushing me.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one. Okay, aim for a 12, but don't make a mistake.
Yeah.
and just make a really good shot. And that's what I continue to do. All I need to do is to make good shots. And even though I was nervous, even though my arm was shaking and I really felt nervous, you know, I was never put in that position where I was like, oh God, I need this 14 or I really need this 12.
Yeah.
And so, you know, putting myself in a good position coming into the shoot off out in the woods helped me with the strategy that I took into the shoot off that night.
Yeah. That's awesome. So when you're out on the range, are you able to see the 12 rings, especially on like those 50 yards? No, you're just, you know where to aim is what you're doing.
Where-ish.
Where-ish. Gotcha.
Where-ish. It's around there somewhere.
Now,
it should be there.
You're not wearing glasses there. Do you have contacts? Do you?
No.
No. Okay. So you don't need any corrective.
Man. Just cheaters up close.
God bless you. That's that good for you.
Just cheaters up close.
I can tell you, man, once you add lenses here and then trying to match clarifiers and lenses, and boy, things can get squirrely fast.
Yeah, more exactly. Glass. I flip my rangefinder over to see my dial indicator on my sight. That's the only thing I do.
I do that all the time. I call it the old man trick, and it works perfectly. I could see that indicator.
Yeah, because if I relied on my short range vision for that, I'd probably put on 80 yards or something for a 15 yard target window where I was at.
Let's talk about the class a little bit there, because I always know, how can I describe this? You know, when I go through the open pro range, known pro range to an extent, certain areas, I just always feel this tension. But anytime I'm on one of the senior ranges, you guys have fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're competing seriously. There's just a different feel out there on the senior ranges. Like, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm in my 50s that I just get it. You know, it's important, but you know, it's really not that important.
I think that one day I've got three sons, and one day my oldest son with his girlfriend, they said, "Dad, you know, which one of your boys do you love the most?" And I was like, "Wow, what a loaded question!"
Yeah, right.
and I said, "Dan, I love you all. I love you, Michael and Matt. All I'd die for you all." I said, but it isn't a thing about love. It's a thing about when you were born, you're the first born boy. I've never been a dad before. I've never raised a child before. And, you know, so you boiled everything and you tried to make, you know, this kid the most perfect kid you can make him. And you know, everybody else is having children around you, and their child is playing the piano at 10 months old, and you know, your kid's still drooling. You know what I'm saying? You're like, well, what's wrong with this kid? Okay. You know? And then you have your second child, and you realize that you kind of were overly concerned about things that you probably shouldn't have been. Then by the time the third kid comes along, you know, he's eating out of the dog bowl. You don't even care. You know, it's like, if you're thirsty, there's the dog dish.
Is there any blood coming from anywhere? He's good.
He's good. It doesn't matter. I said, you know, it's a matter of by the time Matt came along, our third child, you know, we learned and we grew. I grew as a dad. I grew as a father, you know, and how to deal and knowing that things weren't that big of issues as we thought they were. And I really believe that, you know, the senior classes, we're very competitive. I'm very competitive. It may not seem like it, you know, it might not look like it. I smile a lot, but deep down inside it burns.
Oh yeah.
But we also realize that, you know, we're here for one another. That we're blessed to be able to do what we do. We're blessed to be able to, you know, walk these courses and enjoy them. And you realize that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I hear a lot of people say, well, maybe in this class or that class, it's cutthroat or whatever like that. You know, truly in our class, we want to help each other out, because we know what it was like when we were younger.
Yeah.
And now it's sort of like, you know, it's payback mode. We're in that mode where it's like, yeah, you know, that's great, but being cutthroat and being a jerk like that isn't worth our time and effort and energy,
right,
to act like that, because really we're glad to be out here shooting archery, you know.
You got Charlie Rogers in your class, former Major League Baseball player.
Amazing guy.
Peak of just competitiveness, you know, and
just an amazing guy. I love him. When I came into the class, he was one of the first ones that introduced himself to me, and I've got to shoot with him and Harold Rushton and David Rosenbaum and a lot of the guys that were standards. They call themselves the Horsemen, and you know, and it's just you go to these events and it's almost like you can't wait to see certain people because of, you know, really they're just genuinely happy to see you.
Yeah.
And you can feel it, and it's not fake, and it's just a wonderful thing to go to an event that you're doing what you love to do, and you're seeing people and hanging out with people and shooting with people that you genuinely like and care for.
Yeah. So
that's something that I think us guys after 50, we've really come to appreciate.
Is it your plan this year to try and get to enough to potentially win Shooter of the Year if things keep going well?
Oh, absolutely. I've got everything all marked out.
Gotcha.
You know, and I've talked with my boss at work. Hey, listen, you know, these are some of the events I'll be going to, and you know, because I don't want him to feel like you know, running out on or nothing like that. But so yeah, I've got all the events in my calendar, ready to go to, ready to shoot, and you know, I've got Indoor Nationals coming up here. But then once Indoor Nationals is over, that bow goes away, and it's 100% a 3D. Practicing, getting ready for 3D.
So. Yeah. Okay. You don't do any of the 50 meter stuff or field, indoor and 3D.
Yeah. I shot field last year in Harrisburg in Harrisburg.
Oh, the field nationals. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I shot the field nationals. That was the first and last field course that I shot.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it's not something that I love. It's not something that I, you know, running out to see. Then I shot the Dakota Classic and the Outdoor Target Nationals. And it's sort of like the Outdoor Target Nationals, the 50 meter stuff. It's just not, it doesn't move the needle in my heart.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so it's something that if it's there, I'll shoot it.
Yeah.
I have no problems with that, but it's not something that I dedicate myself to go and do.
I will say field is a bit more fun when it's not 98 degrees and 99% humidity.
It was very hot.
Oh man, that was rough.
It was very, very hot, and a lot of bugs and a lot of those lantern flies were flying around. And
August is probably not the best time for that. June is much nicer.
Exactly.
For field archery. But let's talk about your setup. What for your 3D, what is your setup? What bow are you shooting? What arrows? Let's go through the rundown there.
So I'm shooting a Matthews TRX 40. Okay. And for Foley, I had it set on 69 pounds and a 30 3/4 inch draw, shooting a Hamsky drop away rest, gold tip triple X arrows, running dead center archery bars, a 33 inch front with 14 ounces out front, and a 12 inch rear bar with about 19 ounces out the back. Trueball XL scope, an Ultra View XL with a 019 green fiber in it. And love that scope, that setup. It's just wonderful to see through.
Yeah.
One of the doublet, six power doublet.
Okay.
Lens, which made, you know, seeing things a lot easier.
Yeah.
Also new to me is running an Ultra View, button, a large Ultra View button.
Okay. Gotcha.
And thumb trigger. Started shooting that at Vegas, a thumb trigger. Yes. And came down and you know, got a couple of weeks, about a month under my belt with that, and really loving how accurate and how precise that trigger is.
Yeah.
And so that's basically it.
What is your nothing? Which mods do you have on that bow for your let off 70s or 75s?
80s.
80s. Okay.
I shoot 80s.
All right.
I'm a wimp.
I shot that forever, and I was always like, man, nobody shoots the 80 mods. Why am I the only one shooting that?
Well, I think I've had this conversation with other people. It's that, you know, you have a 31-inch draw length. I think your draw length's about the same as mine.
Yeah.
Us guys with really long draw lengths, you know, that cam reacts differently when it's, you know, when you rotate that cam, you know, as far as it can rotate because of our draw length versus someone who has a 27 or 28 inch draw length where that cam isn't rotating. So let off is relative to your draw length. That's what I really believe.
Yeah.
And I have no scientific facts for that, but I know a lot of people that what works for me and what always felt good to me, other people go, I just could never get that thing to shoot.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if you had a 31-inch draw length, maybe that would work. And yeah, maybe if I had a 28-inch draw length, your setup would work for me. And so that's archery. You know, there's right. No, you know, there's no set in the wool die set truths. You just have to go with what feels best to you and what works for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Because I was wondering, you know, 69 pounds, that's up there in weight, but if you got the 80%, your holding weight is not as high as
I think it was about 16, yeah. Somewhere around there.
And now when you go to your indoor setup, I'm guessing your poundage changes, and what do you change there?
Yeah. So I'll shoot about anywhere 58, 59, 60 pounds, depending on how I tune my bow. I think my bow is more like 60 pounds right now, because after shooting 69 pounds in 3D, 57 pounds felt way too light.
Too light.
Yeah. And same thing, 80% mods, same draw length, triple X's, same rest, same everything.
Yeah.
You know, just sighted in for indoors with a big black dot.
And now shoot off from last year, do you switch, if you get to the shoot off, do you switch from fat to skinny arrows, or do you stick with the triple X's?
I did last year. I switched to 23s.
Okay. Not super skinny.
Yeah. Not super skinny. I felt like my 23s were shooting a little bit better than my skinnies were.
Gotcha.
That's why I went to them.
Okay.
And so that's why I didn't go to skinnies. But this year, you know, I've got some arrows on order, so it depends on how fast they get here. Then we'll figure that out.
Figure out what to do.
So as you can tell, I'm an amazing planner when it comes to archery. I've got this all planned out, you know, if they get here in time.
Well, that leads into, Randy, we were talking beforehand. Tell folks what you do for a living. You know, this archery is not your full-time job.
Oh, absolutely not. Go ahead.
Go ahead. That's what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Yeah. So what I do for a living for about 20 years, I pastored a church. But now I work for a water damage restoration company. And I go around, I travel around Northeast Ohio. I do testing for asbestos in residential homes and buildings. When there's been water damage, when you have places where a plumber needs to cut into a wall or to tear up a floor or to jackhammer through a floor, I test those materials. So, you know, it's sort of an interesting thing, because if you see me knocking at your door with my shirt on, you've had a bad weekend. You've had a bad day because you've had a lot of water damage. And then I do marketing for our company too. I'll go out to plumbing shops and knock on doors and you know, just try to get the plumbers to refer our company, and also to get them to, you know, use us if they see asbestos present. And as we were talking, you know, it's sort of a you know, a lot of people are like, you used to do ministry and now you're doing stuff with asbestos and stuff with plumbers and water restoration, mitigation and things like that. I said, well, you know, I get a chance to walk into people's homes almost every day that have had a disaster in their house. And, you know, and it's just part of my ministry now is just to, you know, love on that person and to care for them and, you know, encourage them that, hey, this is going to be okay. And we're going to get you taken care of. And, you know, just try to bring a bright spot to their day that, you know, that after I left, it wasn't such a bad thing. And they've got a smile on their face and they feel like, okay, you know, I can face this situation now. And it's going to be a little bit better. And that's how I look at archery. And that's how I look at going to these shoots is that hopefully with me being there, not just a competitor, just not another face on the line, but I could be a blessing to somebody somewhere who, you know, needed me to be a blessing to them during that weekend.
And so then with that job, you know, you're shooting in your basement. How much time would you say you get to shoot when it's in competition season, when you need to be at your best? Are you able to shoot every day?
Yeah, I'm pretty much able to shoot every day. We have a local range here. It's a local archery ministry. It's called On Target Outfitters. It's in Canfield, Ohio. It's pretty much open to me every day. And off hours, night, 9 o'clock at night or whenever like that, I can slip away and get down there. I shoot a league on Wednesday nights. And, you know, and we have we're blessed up here with just a lot of local indoor spot tournaments. We're really blessed because I talk to a lot of people that they've got to drive hours.
Exactly.
Or they're in locations that they don't shoot indoors at all. It's all 3D, or they're in a location where it's just all indoors and no 3D. So in our area, we've been super blessed with the amount of shops and the amount of places that we can go and shoot and get really, really good practice, especially the level of competition that I shoot against here in the local level. We've got some real good name pros that I shoot against here. And it's like, wow, I don't have to go to the national events, man. I got you guys to shoot against. and they're all young guys. So I better pack a lunch and bring my A game. And so it's if I win here, it's no gimme.
Yeah. What do you do when you're not shooting your bow and you're not working?
Well, if it ain't hanging out with my boys, I do like to golf.
Okay.
I enjoy golf. I enjoy fishing. You know, we have Lake Erie up here. I've got some buddies who have charter boats and go up with them.
You don't do anything with lead sinkers and walleyes, do you?
Well, I've thought of a way around that. And I figured a bismuth or, you know, titanium would work a little bit better. but, you know, I do hunt. I enjoy doing that. And so I tell you, there's no lack of things that I could find myself into. and again, I have a lot of friends that, you know, that are just tremendous friends that we get out hunting and do a whole bunch of stuff with. So, yeah.
So I'm going to put one on your resume as a goal for you. I'm guessing shooter of the year in a pro class is probably something you want to accomplish, but I'll ask you, what in archery do you want to tick off yet? What's on the list yet that you haven't done that is important to you?
Oh, Vegas.
Vegas.
Got to win Vegas.
Got to win Vegas.
Yeah, that's the big one. That's the one that that's the cherry on top of, you know, the pie. And I remember
year, correct?
Third this year.
Yes. Is that your best finish?
It is.
Okay.
It is. So we're very happy, very proud to be on the podium. But it's, I remember years ago watching tennis Yvonne Lendl, never won Wimbledon. And they asked him, they said, you know, what do you want? He goes, I'd give up all of my other ones just to win Wimbledon. Uh-huh. I don't think I'm that dedicated. You know, I wouldn't give up all my other ones, but yeah. Vegas is that one on the list that I want to win.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it seems like in the senior pro class, you know, some years there might be a 900, 899s always seem to be in play. It's like right there. I'm sure at home practicing, you can shoot 300s left and right, but then shooting three of them in Vegas, that's the...
It seems, and I've told this to people before, you know, shooting a 300 sometimes is easy. It's simple. It's just you, boom, boom. You know, and I get upset if I, you know, if I shoot a 28X, I should have shot 29, 30. And, you know, really, you know, in those practice sessions and even in some, you know, local tournaments, you know, shooting a 28, 29X, it's like, okay, that's cool. But when you get to Vegas, it's just simply different. And I think the more you go, once again, the more you go, the more, okay, you know, here we go. Let's just go get this done. And my first year at Vegas back in, I think, 2016 or so, I was down on that. I was shooting open pro. I was down on that arena floor. The night before, I had shot amazingly well in the practice with the pros. I shot my 6 warm-up arrows, practice arrows. And when that guy said, this one's for score, it felt like there was an earthquake and I was the only one feeling this earthquake. Your heart's beating like crazy. It's like, I can hardly hold my bow in the middle of the thing. I shot 3X as my first arrow. Wow, I can't believe it. It's hard to believe. But it was when I got settled down. It's when all that adrenaline went away and I got settled in and I just kind of got too relaxed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
is when I missed my first shot. So it's that learning to deal with the highs of that adrenaline jump and then the lows of when you get settled in. And that's where you've got to, especially with indoor archery, with indoor nationals coming up. Yeah. Where it's a marathon, it's a 3.5-hour marathon. You just got to learn how to manage your emotions and manage all that energy. And you know, whereas ASA is like every 15 minutes, you're going to make a shot.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to make a shot. 15 minutes later, we'll do it again.
Yeah.
Whereas indoor archery is just so much more. And then you have the clock that you're looking at too, especially
indoor. It's funny. We did our shot of the week this past tournament with Levi Morgan, and he said that he feels like he shoots scared more now because he's had more bad things happen to him. He said, when I was in my 20s, he was like, bad things didn't happen to me on the archery. I didn't have any big losses, nothing like that. He said, now I've had some of those bad things. He's like, it gets all up in here and you come out and start shooting and you just start thinking about things. And that's when trouble can happen.
Exactly. It's true.
Do you find that, I'm glad that you brought that up, you know, in the ASA, it's one shot every 15 minutes or so that you're going to shoot that. How do you find that as compared to, you know, the 3-shot burst of indoor?
Yeah, the 3-shot, because you have that 2-minute time clock, you do not have the time to let down, even though it's 18 meters, 20 yards.
Right.
That you can see the target. You don't have to glass the target at all. You know what you're shooting at, but you still have to get those arrows off in that 2-minute time frame, and you can't let down that much. And it's just repetition after repetition, repetition. And then you've got a person shooting in front of you. You've got a person shooting behind you. You've got chatter in the background. You've got a lot of ambient noises kind of going on indoors. And so that's sort of like the blocking things out. The getting to a place where what goes on in front of you, what goes on behind you, what goes on beside you, you just have to block it all out. The people talking, the person who dropped their arrow, the person who, the kid that's crying, the phone that goes off behind you. You just got to learn how to block all that craziness out. Whereas on the 3D course, if I don't like what I'm seeing, I just let down.
Right.
Take a breath. Okay. Glass it again. All right. But that was also the difference in the shoot-off, where you got a minute to shoot one arrow, and that seems like an eternity. However, if I don't like what I'm looking at, well, for example, the Black Panther in the shoot off, I looked at it through my binoculars. I determined I'm going to shoot upper. I saw there was a little leaf, and I saw there was a swirl in the foam, and right in between it was this 12 that was just like screaming, shoot me. And I dialed in my sight, but when I drew back on that target, I couldn't find anything that I saw through my binoculars.
No kidding.
And I'm looking for it, and I'm looking for it, and like the core line went away, everything went away. It was just this black thing. I'm sitting there at full draw, going, I don't want to let down because time's running out. I've got to make this shot. So I said, okay, it looks like it's going to be right about there. And I made a really good shot. I felt good. The shot fired well. And when I looked at through my naked eye, I was like, ooh, it's a little bit high. And I looked through my binoculars. I turned around. My buddy was like, yeah, you're good. You're good. You're in the top of the 12. So I was just kind of relaxed.
Yeah.
And then they lied to me and turned around and put an 8 out there. but it's one of those things where, you know, I made the best shot I can make on that. Right. And I made a mistake. I aimed in the wrong place, but I made a really, really good shot.
Yeah.
Now going to the black buck, the 49-yard black buck.
Yep.
That was not a good shot. That pin kind of did a dip. It kind of tried to write cursive, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It tried to write a cursive S. And a shot fired when, oh boy.
One of those.
It was one of those, like, oh boy, that wasn't good at all. And I pick my binoculars up and I go, oh, that has a chance. and so, you know, but that's 3D archery where, you know, you make a really good shot and sometimes you just don't catch it. Or you can make a poor shot. And bam, you hit the center of that 12 ring. But that's Tim, 3D archery.
Tim Gillingham, he says, often in 3D archery, two wrongs make a right. two mistakes and you can end up a winner.
That's true.
Well, Randy, we are at 55 minutes. That's right about what we like to hit. Was there anything we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about?
No, not really, other than just how... you know, I don't want this to sound, you know, it's just how grateful I am that, you know, you guys are at the shoots and putting out quality videos and material. I just want to pass this story along, and it hits me personally. You know, when my sons were passing the shoot down video of me between each other and, you know, congratulating me and this, that, and the other, I said, you know, it's pretty interesting. I said, when I think about it, that, you know, now their kids and their kids now have a high quality video of their grandfather.
Yeah.
that I don't want to sound morbid, but that when I'm long gone, that their sons and their daughters and, you know, for generations to come, we'll be able to say, this was your grandpa, this was your great grandpa. And, you know, and he did this. And I listen, you know, I love my job. I love doing what I do, but it's, you know, but archery. And I think a lot of people could say this, you know, brings out a purpose in a lot of people's lives where, you know, you can get to a place where it's like, oh, you were a hard worker. Yeah, it's great. You know, you were a hard worker. But to be an archer and to go to national events and make a difference in people's lives and try to do as well as you can, you know, I mean, you that's something to sort of hang your hat on. And so, and I know there's a lot of people that would make that same sentiment. That it's more than just a hobby. It's more than just going out and shooting our bows. It's a part of our lives. And so thank you for, for CAM Media for doing such a quality job and covering what you do, because it's going to make a difference for a lot of people for generations to come.
That's great to hear, Randy, and we certainly appreciate that. And it's our pleasure to do it. I can tell you it's just as entertaining. You know, I was a news reporter for 25 years. So
wow,
this is a lot nicer than that. I'll just say that.
Yes.
All right, folks, that is another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. Randy Morocco, congrats on the first ASA win. Good luck in NFA Nationals coming up here, but we appreciate your time today.
Thank you, PJ. I appreciate your time, and God bless.
All right, folks, the Competition Archery Media Podcast, you can find that on all the platforms wherever you find your favorite podcast. Thanks for being here today.